John chapter 11, we find Jesus showing himself to be the resurrection and the life. But we want to take a few moments and think about the setting of John chapter 11. The setting of John chapter 11 was the sickness, the death, the burial of Lazarus. With the agony, the sorrow that those around him faced because of death. And, of course, the Bible really emphasizes the fact that a very sad thing, that death is all about sin. Death is about sin. As far as one by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. Genesis 2. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death is real. In the Old Testament, you touched a dead person. You could not worship in the temple. The defilement of death was upon you. You could not worship a holy God. Because death is associated with sin. And you had to be ceremonially cleansed before you could worship a holy God. Because the defilement of death was upon you. Death is a very real thing. We find the Lord Jesus showing himself throughout the Gospels. We find that he is the victor over sin. He is the victor over disease. He is the victor over all the effects of sin. And of course, here in chapter 11, we find that the Lord Jesus is the victor over death. Wow. You know, many times we just don't come to the grips with the reality of death. I mean, have you ever thought about the fact? Now, as with a Christian background, we don't think like we ought to. We don't think about things. But what power do you have to raise your body out of the grave? None. You and I are totally captive. We are totally defeated by death. Death is powerful. We cannot escape it. We cannot overcome it. It will. It is a reality of sin having come into the human race. And of course, as we look at this chapter, Lazarus was sick. And of course, we know that sickness is a result of sin. God didn't create us, didn't give us a physical body to be sick. Lazarus was sick. Of course, he died. And death is a result of sin. Sin is in the human race. And death is a result of that sin. You know, we need to understand where death came from. It came from sin. We need to understand where did disease come from. It came from sin. Where do these debilitating things come from? Came from sin. You know, we like in our society, we like to somehow get away from the reality of death. We don't sell death insurance, we sell life insurance. Right? You know, as you think the progress of our society, I have noticed that the whole practice of funerals have done more and more to escape the reality of death. You have fewer people going to funerals. Fewer people go to funerals. They just don't want to go. I find that people would like to minimize the burial. Well, I want to minimize that. In fact, I haven't really thought this through, but I would wish that some of the way the vault people operate, I should just tell them, no, this is the way we're going to do it. Rather than having them tell us how it's going to happen. But, you know, in the old country, for instance, in Hungary, at a burial, every member of the family has a shovel. And they bury the loved one. And the funeral is not over until every piece of dirt has been put on top of the grave. The flowers are put there. I don't know what they do after that. It's very captivating, at the least, to see that. This person really died. They really died. I remember a funeral director telling me about, and it wasn't Mike, but he would probably agree, is that, and we talked about this, and this is looking at it from a different standpoint, cremation does not put an end put a right ending to someone dying. It's too ethereal. It didn't really happen. There's no grave to visit. There's no place to grieve. We try to escape death. But death is real. You know, we try to think that it won't come. You know, if they have death, if some teenager dies, they're going to have a huge team of counselors go to the high school. Because our society tries to escape death, the reality of death. Death is something that you don't talk about. It's something that you want to pretend doesn't happen. But death does happen. And death is real. And it's very final, at least from a human standpoint. But the real issue is, what about death? The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Satan says, you will not die. Where did death come from? What is death all about? death is all about, that sin has come into the human race. And mankind is under its power. Right? We're dying. Do you know that? The day after you are born, you are one day closer to death. Did you know that? The day after you're born, you're one day closer to death. But you know, our whole thinking is about minimizing death. It's about trying to escape the fact that we are going to die. And we somehow don't look at it as real. Well, Lazarus died. The Bible tells us that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The Bible tells us that at the grave there, that Jesus wept. Death is a very sorrowful thing. There is a finality. Death is the victor. From a human standpoint, we're helpless in the realm of death. Jesus wept. He shared their sorrows. The sorrow that sin has come into the human race and what it has done. And we're living a day in which, even more so, death means nothing. The globalists talk about the need to eliminate 50% of the world's population. They think nothing of death. I mean, these are the big ones, Soros and his crowd. The world's population needs to be eliminated. They're the left, the leaders of the left. Death is nothing. Jesus wept. But you know, Jesus turned the tragedy into something mighty glorious. So we find that Jesus, after he knows that Lazarus has died, he goes to visit Mary and Martha there in Bethany. The Bible tells us that as he meets her, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Well, he might not have died at that occasion, but he would have some other time. He would have some other time. He would have died. And of course, Jesus could have prevented it because he's the victor over even sickness. But Jesus said to her, thy brother shall live again. Shall rise again. Excuse me. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, the word resurrection is the word anastasso, which means again, to stand. to stand again. Now, Brother Henning brought forth the whole idea that pagan thinking is the resurrection just has to do with your soul. And the Bible tells us that the resurrection has to do with your body. This body is going to stand again. Can you imagine that? That your body will stand again. Mr. Henney rightly brought forth, outside of Christianity, that's not in the thinking of the world. Eastern religion talks about, you know, your body going up in smoke and then coming back in some other form. That body is never going to stand again. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And of course we know that Job believed that. He said, in my flesh, I shall see God. I think that we want to just take a moment here and say, okay, here are the sorrows of death, reality of death, the penalty of sin, death. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone, and only Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ has power over the grave. Only Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ will your body be raised again to life. I am the resurrection in life. Now we can think of some important truths here. What about Jesus? What did he do? Hebrews chapter 2. Look at a few verses here. What did Jesus do for you and me? What did he do for mankind? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That he through the grace of God should taste death for every man. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus tasted death for every man. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, excuse me. Verse 14 of chapter 2. For as then as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That he might destroy him that hath the power of death. And who is that? The devil. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. He tasted our death. He was our substitute. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. that great resurrection chapter. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What about the sting of death? Yeah, death stings, doesn't it? Death stings. It wins, has all sorts of sorrow with it. It wins, O grave, where is thy victory? The grave wins. You don't have any victory over the grave. You can't raise up your body. We're powerless against death. You know, young people, the fact is we don't really think much. I guess I'm old, but, you know, get a little bit older, you think a little bit about dying. My dear mother is almost 91. And the other day, she had a bad day. She said, I thought I was going to die. My brother was there. Two different times she stopped breathing. Sitting at the table. Death is real. You know, a normal person doesn't really want to die. You want to die? That's not normal. We want to live. You know, I want to go meet the Lord, but I want to live. I don't know about you, but I want to live. But death is real. It's powerful. Jesus tasted death for every man. Jesus. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Thank God. Through Him, you have victory over death. You have victory through the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? You say, oh, I want to be my Savior. I don't want to be my... You know what? The Bible doesn't ever talk like that. Did you know that? The Bible never talks like that. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, what? Our Lord. You know what the our means? That means everybody that is saved says, Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's what it says, isn't it? This halfway salvation, that's not salvation at all. All the verses about salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our is a possessive word. You know that? Our. That means everybody who is saved, they have in common something that Jesus Christ is their Lord. just if you got into this modern Christianity, that you got Jesus to take you to take you out of hell, a fire escape, but you don't want him as the Lord of your life. Just remember, all the phrases in the Bible that spoke about salvation identifies Jesus Christ as our Lord. But thanks God to the victory. So Jesus said, here's Lazarus is in the grave. And Mary says, you know, someday he's going to rise again. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the one in whom the power is indwelt to raise the dead from the grave. It's me, he said. I am the resurrection. You know, that is big. Muhammad never said, I am the resurrection. Confucius never said, I am the resurrection. Stalin never said, I'm the resurrection. Lenin couldn't say that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Wow. You think of the greatness of our Savior. You think of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. In me dwells the power to raise the dead. Your body out of the grave. Only Jesus. This is phenomenal statement that it is Jesus Christ. Now, in the passage of Scripture, Jesus goes to the grave. And Jesus said, you know, roll back the stone. Open the grave. And what do they say? Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord. Now this isn't too pleasant, but this is real. Lord, by this time he stinketh. By this time his flesh is decaying and rotting. Not a pleasant thought. Now, the Jewish grave was a little bit, in many cases, it was a little bit more close to reality. And some cemeteries, you see something like that. If you go up to Wales, you'll see a couple sepulchres. And what they are, it's like a room. And you can see there's a door there. You know what I mean? And there's a door there. It has an iron gate on it. And that door can be opened. And there's a room in there. And what do? They put that body in there and laid it on a platform. But it has a little raise in it for the head, laid it there. And the Jewish culture, the tomb would be a place where they had this stone bed, they lay the body. And then, when all the flesh is gone, we'll take the bones. And underneath that table was another carved out spot. And they put the bones there. And the Bible talks about how they would be buried with their fathers. That's exactly what happened. Their body would be put on that table until all the flesh was decayed and gone. And then they would take the bones and put them in the bottom underneath with the bones of all their relatives. They'd be buried with their fathers. And the whole idea that this is real. The flesh is going to decay. It's a real thing. And but Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. I can make these bones stand again. I can put the flesh back on these bones. Now, that's an unbelievable, it is believable, but it's an unbelievable statement, isn't it? He goes to the grave, and he shows how it's going to be done. He shows how it's going to be done. Verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. For I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by. Now he's doing it for the people's sake because he's showing them how it's going to be done. I said it. And that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And guess what happened? And he that was dead came forth. We have a picture of the resurrection. John chapter 5. What is the means of the resurrection? The power of the resurrection is Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who died, was buried, and rose again. The voice of the resurrection, the voice of Jesus. The Bible says, John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of life. Of damnation. The Lord Jesus, he said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I think it's significant. He said, Lazarus, you know why? Because Jesus said, I know my sheep. Well, does he know your name? Remember the person who said, Lord, Lord, in Matthew 7, he says, I don't know you. But the voice of Jesus, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a, what? With a shout. Huh. The voice of Jesus. Isn't that amazing truth? The voice of Jesus. Who was it on the creation day? Says, let there be light. It was Jesus. How do you know it's Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. And his vesture was written the Word of God, Jesus Christ. It's His Word. It's His voice. You know, by the way, do you hear His voice? Do you hear His voice? You hear His voice? What's the Bible saying? There's not a whole lot of difference. Do you hear His voice? He is the Word of God. And it's His voice that's going to call. Lazarus, come forth. Now he's in the sky, the rapture. What's he going to say? I don't know. It says a shout. He might say, come forth. And all the believers are going to be raised bodily out of the grave. It's His voice. Wow. Wow. His voice. It is His voice that will instantaneously give you and I victory over all the elements. Oh, and break all the laws of science. Right then. Just as He broke all the laws of science to bring in the world, and break all the laws of science to raise it from the dead. It's His voice. Wow. It's amazing when we think of the voice of Jesus. Now remember, John chapter 20. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Yes, this sign. And this was a sign. What's a sign? It's a picture of something else. Okay? I mean, we're going to have a new church sign out there. It's going to say, Maquoneago Baptist Church. Well, it actually means Maquoneago Baptist Church Building, or Maquoneago Baptist Church meets here. Okay. But, you know, that sign isn't the building. That sign isn't the people, is it? You know what? It's just a sign. And Jesus said, this miracle was a sign. It pointed to something else, something bigger, something greater. As a picture of the rapture. It's a picture of how the resurrection is going to take place. It's a picture of how Jesus is going to call those in the graves, and all that hear shall rise. All that hear. This is a type. This is prophetic. This is predictive. This is a picture. And we see it. 1 Thessalonians 4. We see it. John chapter 5. But it's Jesus. It's His voice. He is the first begotten from the dead. He is the one We use the modern term, he beat the grave. He beat sin. He paid the price of sin. He beat the penalty of sin. He met all its requirements. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The purpose of this book tells us that every person in life has a choice. And it's a choice about Jesus Christ. Lazarus. Under the penalty of sin. Lazarus. Helpless. What can he do? He's dead. Body's decaying. That's it. Death. Have we ever let death face us in the eyes? We're going to die. You know, part of the sin nature is try to live in denial. Part of the sin nature is to somehow deny the reality of it. Suicide has become very popular. It's a denial of the facts. It's not an escape. It's not an escape. In fact, it's not even an escape from your body, because your body will rise again someday. But we will die. I always think of Stephen Raines' testimony. There's two funerals, right? One was three. What were they? Jennifer. Grandma Beard. And Kathy Klaus's sister, 4 years old. He went to three funerals. Most people don't take a four-year-old to funerals. Went to three funerals. He was faced with the reality of death. Most people don't want to face death. They want to escape it. They don't want to think about it. They want to wrestle with its realities. They don't want to wrestle with why we die. They don't want to wrestle with the powerlessness that we have over death. They don't want to wrestle with what comes after death. They want to wrestle. They want to just live. I call it a life in fantasy. But Lazarus represents the man who prepared for death. He prepared for death. You know, a lot of people don't prepare for death today. You know, I was taught when I was young, when you're young, you get first married, one of the first things you do is you buy life insurance. Because if you die, someone's going to have to bury you. And it's wrong to not take care of your future. It's wrong not to have money for your wife or your family to take care of your proper funeral. The first thing you do when you get married is you get life insurance, so you don't have this big burden on your family to bury you. But people don't want to prepare for death. And then the family has no money, and then they have to take the cheapest way possible. But you prepare for death. Now, a lot of people don't prepare for death. They like to pretend it's not going to happen and just lay the whole burden on the ones who remain. But you know, a lot of people don't prepare for death in reality. They don't prepare for the fact that is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. You know, isn't it amazing? Now think with me for a minute. Think with me for a minute. The people who are living the most carelessly and the most sinful are many times the people who think the very least about the reality of death. Isn't it so? Right? And I guarantee there is a relationship. If you are living flippantly, you are not living prepared for death. You're trying to pretend it's not going to happen. Lazarus was prepared to die. Lazarus had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus knew that he was a sinner. Lazarus knew that death was the penalty of sin. He prepared to die. But you know, the choice is the fact that there's a whole other group of people, whether it's because they're ignorant, or because they're hard-hearted, or because they're proud, or because of some prejudice. Have not made the choice to receive Jesus Christ, the Lord, as their Lord. Because everything about life has to do with Jesus. Everything in life has to do with Jesus. And there's a choice to be made. I am the resurrection and life. There's no other. There is no other means whereby there be victory over the grave, and you live in the resurrection of life. Only one person, that's Jesus. Only one person. And this chapter points it out more clearly than anything else. There's one person, Jesus. That's it. I am the resurrection and life. There's no situation that points out how more clearly the penalty of sin, the reality of death is a penalty of sin, the sorrow of sin and sorrows of death, and the power of the grave. There's only one answer. It's Jesus. It's a sad thing, though. The Bible says all that are in the graves, all that are in the graves will hear his voice. The lost, as well as the saved. All will hear his voice. Whether they ignored him, whether they didn't know about him, whether they refused him, they will still hear his voice. And there will be a resurrection unto condemnation. But what a wonderful thing I just wonder what it's going to be like. I don't quite understand, can fathom it. But won't it be wonderful to hear the voice of Jesus? Yeah, I know our soul will be in heaven. And we'll be coming back with Jesus. But the Bible says, all within the graves will hear His voice. What a wonderful voice that will be to hear the voice of Jesus. Do you love His voice? When's the last time you heard His voice? When's the last time you've come to church even and heard His voice? Jesus said, I'll build my church. This is His church. When's the last time you read your Bible and you heard His voice? Do you love His voice? It's that voice that you love that will say, come forth! And I don't know. Is the first thing we're going to do when we hear that voice as we're reconstituted? Hallelujah! I've been waiting. I don't know. But it'd be a wonderful voice. And it's all a part of the choice of life about what you do with Jesus. What you do with Jesus. Do you love Him? Is He your Lord? Can you say that the gospel writers, my Lord, Jesus Christ. My Lord, Jesus Christ. The crossroads of life, all about Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Lord, it is just an overwhelming thought. Lord, we just think of those of us going to be buried there in Baptist Memorial Cemetery. What will it be like? We hear His voice, the voice of Jesus. Lord, what a wonderful thing. We love Your voice. Sometimes it's very convicting. But Lord, we love Your voice. We love Your voice that called us to repentance. We love Your voice that called us to faith. We love Your voice that called us to surrender. We love Your voice that leads us in the path of righteousness. We love Your voice that gives us that assurance and strength and help in the trials of life. We love Your voice. We look forward to, Lord, that voice. Perhaps on that deathbed when You say, come home. We love to think of that voice when all in the graves will hear it. And I trust, Lord, I pray that everybody in this room and say they love the voice of Jesus above all other voices. They love the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They look forward to it every day as they read the Word. They look forward to hearing Your voice as they serve You, as they come to the Lord's house to worship You. They love Your voice. heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today.